From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Markup Report. It is the 8th day of July, 2026. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Away from the office this afternoon, a good story involved with that. I'll tell you about it later. So no update of the final numbers from the CME Group in Chicago. However, we will hear about the commodity markets from Greg Johnson at TGM, Total Grain Marketing, right here in Champaign County. A really good discussion with him, and then a great discussion about the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, all on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Greg Johnson now joins us from Total Grain Marketing, TGM, right here in Champaign at the Elevator County, that is. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you, Todd.
Tell me about this marketplace. An interesting week so far.
Yes. Now, today we're lower. I think the market is really concerned. Fears of resumption of a conflict in the Middle East are weighing on just about everything today except crude oil. Crude oil is up about $6 a barrel, but stocks are down. All the other commodities are down. So that's just kind of a one-day reaction. You know how that is. It could change completely in 24 hours. But today we're under pressure because of the fears of the Middle East conflict resuming. But other than that, we've had a nice little run back comeback since the June 30th crop report came out. We dodged a bullet. The acres weren't any higher than what they were in March on corn. They were higher in beans, but we can talk about demand offsetting that increase in acres on soybeans. So back on May 13th, December corn hit $5 on the board, and then we lost 75 cents, went down to $4.25 on June 30th. So and now we've gained 40 cents back of that 75 cents. On the old crop, we lost 80 cents and have gained 40 back. So exactly a 50% retracement on the corn charts, which is probably a pretty good place to for farmers to think about increasing some sales, unless you really believe that we're going to be hot and dry in July and August. And there's more rain in the forecast for us this weekend. The models are split next week. The European model has us getting anywhere from 1 to 2 inches of rain next week over a big part of the Midwest. The American model looks a little bit drier, but either way, we've been so wet that, you know, really a week's worth of dry weather wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. So corn prices have rallied. It's probably going to take weather issues to get corn to go any higher than where it is right now. Soybeans, on the other hand, weather could do the trick on soybean prices, or some more Chinese demand could help the soybeans out. There's been 5 or 6 boatloads reported sold to China here just in the last couple of days. There's rumors that President Trump and President Xi are going to meet in Washington in late September. So that's always good for trade possibilities. Carryout is extremely tight on soybeans, 310 million. If you lower the yield by a bushel and a half, that's 200 million bushels. Or if China shows up, that could reduce the carryout as well. So weather on corn and the wild card on China demand on soybeans has got the market not sure which way to go. But just from a technical point of view, we've gained back roughly half of what we lost from the May 13th high to the June 30th low.
Tell me in the draw area what you think conditions are like on the ground for corn and soybeans at the moment. Lots of tasseling corn in the area.
Yeah, I think corn is in better shape than the beans, quite frankly. I think the corn can handle the wet weather a lot better than the beans can. You know, there's obviously issues. I mean, only 60% of Illinois' corn is rated good or excellent. A lot of the other states are in the 70s. So we seem to be in one of the poorer areas. And again, when I say poor, I say an 80-acre field, there might be 5 acres that we're going to lose to ponds, but the other 75 acres probably will be okay. So this is not a disaster by any stretch on the corn. You know, we might have a slightly below average yield, but then other states will make up for that. And so I think we're looking at something close to a trend line yield. I think USDA is using 183, and you know, at this point, 182, you can't really prove anything you know, yet. So I don't think it's a disaster at this point. It really all boils down to whether we continue to receive rains in July and August or not. But at this point, the crop here in central Illinois, for example, I think looks, you know, not as good as it has the last couple of years, but it's not a disaster by any stretch.
Fall delivery cash bids reflect that, meaning is the basis narrower in the eastern Corn Belt than the western Corn Belt? There are two things potentially going on there as well. One of them is a lot of wet weather here, and a whole lot of grain apparently still in storage there.
Yes. Not as much storage in the eastern Corn Belt, you're right, as in the western Corn Belt. So we're seeing basis levels weaker in the west versus the east. And again, here we cannot store both the entire new crop corn and new crop soybeans. So we really hope that China does come in and buy some beans and we have a fall bean export program. That would really alleviate the crunch on storage space this fall. So we're hopeful that, that China will start buying soybeans from us, especially this fall. We really need a September, October, November soybean export program to alleviate the crunch on storage space. So things are looking, optimistic right now, but we'll have to wait and see.
When would elevator managers make that decision about basis and storage space?
Usually it's after pollination. If everything looks great, then the basis levels tend to start weakening out on corn. On beans, really we're trying to hold on and see if China's going to actually buy beans and we have an export program. If they don't, eventually soybean basis will get weaker as well.
So we have, 20 days on corn or thereabouts?
I think so, yeah. I don't think we'll see corn basis, new crop corn basis weaken and for another 2 to 3 weeks. If everything still looks good in 3 weeks, then farmers may want to consider getting basis locked in.
Kind of a normal seasonal pattern in that case.
Exactly.
Okay, so what farmers should have been used to, may have been used to over a few decades, depending on how long they've been in the field as well. What other things are you watching? For instance, the World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates are out on Friday morning at 11 a.m.
Yep, not looking for a lot of changes there yet. We're still concerned that USDA will somehow mysteriously find more corn acres as they did last year. That didn't happen last year until the September crop report, so maybe we're okay for a while. But again, we've got plenty of corn, a 2 billion bushel carryout. If you use 95.3 million acres and use a 182 yield instead of a 183, that's a 15.9 billion bushel corn supply. Demand is 16.2 this year, or last year, so 16.1 this year, maybe. I still think feed demand's a little high. So that's a 200 million reduction in carryout. That gets your carryout from 2 billion to 1.8. But 1.8 is not $5 corn. So we could see a retest of the 425 December lows this fall if we have something close to a normal crop, I guess is the bottom line.
Yeah, so USDA WASD is produced by the World Ag Outlook Board that is informed by the NAS numbers, the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Friday will be a World Ag Outlook Board only. They probably can see, I'm sure they can, see the FSA numbers as they come in for acreage. Certainly NAS will see them, and they use them when they're putting together the crop production reports. Those don't come up until the month of August. I guess we'll talk with you again next week. Anything else before I let you go?
I think that's about it, Todd.
All right. Thanks much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing. Let me take you through the calendar of events over the next couple of weeks. Next week, starting on the 15th, that's Wednesday, at the Ore Agricultural Research and Demonstration Center, they'll have a field day. That's in western Illinois at Bayless. You'll want to attend if you're in that area. It is a great day. I've been to this several times. It runs from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Again, that's in Bayless. It is the Ore Agricultural Research and Demonstration Center Field Day. On that day, many of the crop scientists from the University of Illinois will be on site, and you'll be able to ask them questions directly. The following day, on Thursday the 16th, the Illinois Soybean Association will hold its Agronomy Farm Field Day. That's outside of Hayworth, and like everything else I'm talking to you about, you can find more information about it and a way to register for these events online at willag.org. You'll have to look in the calendar. These will be in red on the 15th for the Orr Agriculture Research and Demonstration Center Field Day, and then on the 16th, next Thursday, for the Illinois Soybean Association Agronomy Farm Field Day. They call it Focus on the Farm. Abigail Peterson will be there, of course, from the Illinois Soybean Association. She'll discuss agronomy as it's related to the bean, and Dr. Ileana Monteverde from the University of Illinois will be there from the U of I Crop Sciences Soybean Breeding Services. You'll want to hear what she has to say. In fact, we'll hear more about that on Friday with the closing market report, but you'll want to join them in person regardless next week on the 16th. That's outside of Hayworth. And then the following week, there are a couple of other items coming up. On Tuesday the 22nd, if you are in the Galesburg area, the Monmouth Field Day will take place. And then in deep southern Illinois on Thursday the 23rd at the Dixon Springs Agriculture Research Center, they'll hold their annual Beef Field Day. This is an evening event, runs from 5:15 and includes a really, really good supper put on by a local crew there. You'll want to attend that if you're in that area. All of those are online right now. You can find the details, if you'd like, at willag.org. Look in the calendar of events. They'll be highlighted in red. Then click to open again. And if there is a registration link, it should be hot after you open it a second time. The first time you can copy and paste it if you'd like, but otherwise just double click on that once you've opened it up and you can register for any of these events. Those are coming up in the next 2 weeks, a very busy 2 weeks for University of Illinois Extension and Crop Sciences. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. We'll probably check in on France and Western Europe, but the weather we really want to know about at the moment, Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, is right here in the Corn Belt as we enter pollination. There have been some thoughts about really hot weather. I want to know what you're thinking.
Yes, well, it depends on where you are. You know, they always tell you it's location, location, location. Well, that's what the deal is going to be here this weekend and next week. Unfortunately, for those folks in the northwestern Corn Belt and the northern plains, that's where the key area of the heat is going to be. And we are going to see temperatures in South Dakota and maybe eastern Montana get to very close to, if not at 110 degrees. It will be really nasty for about 3 days in those areas. But even when it is not quite that hot, it will still be hot for multiple other days, just mostly 90s. Some of the heat will work its way into Minnesota and northwestern Iowa, but I don't think it'll get too much farther to the east. If it does, it's going to be for a single day, two at the absolute most, and a very quick return to more seasonable readings. There is not a lot of rain in the pipeline for the next 10 days in the northern plains and the northwestern Corn Belt. So this is not a good scenario. We did get some very heavy rain last night near Aberdeen, South Dakota. I think we had amounts 2 to over 4 inches. But it was a small area. It was just one of those complex thunderstorms that was pretty localized. There were some other areas in Minnesota and the rest of eastern South Dakota, even the few counties in southern North Dakota that did get some rain. That was so important. But, you know, with 100-degree temperatures, it's only going to take 2 afternoons to remove much of that moisture. Maybe not the areas that got the 4 inches, but the rest of that region. So crop stress and livestock stress are going to be through the roof in the northern plains and that northwestern part of the Corn Belt as we go from Sunday through Tuesday, and probably Wednesday and Thursday of next week won't be quite as bad, but it'll still be dry and it'll still be warmer than normal. And so there will be some very definite stress there. The rest of the Midwest will see scattered showers and thunderstorms here over the next 2 to 3 days, and we will get some moisture to fall in some of the drier areas of Ohio and a few other pockets and maintain soil moisture in other areas. It will turn drier in the eastern Midwest and the central areas as well, because the ridge will be too close and it just won't rain much as we go forward through the week next week. But most of the Midwest proper will probably see temperatures that are fairly close to normal, just a little above average. And as we go into the end of next week and the following weekend, there will be a deepening trough of low pressure coming in from eastern Canada that will push the ridge back to the west into the Rocky Mountains and Great Basin and allow for scattered showers and some thunderstorms to return to the Midwest and some cooler air. Now, when the moisture comes around, it's not going to be like it has been. We're not going to see high volume rain events taking place across a big part of the Midwest, but there will be some locally strong thunderstorms. But the bottom line is it's going to be a little bit more erratic rain. And but the bottom line for everything here is that it's really about the northern plains and northwestern Corn Belt. That's where the biggest problem is going to be, maybe reaching into a part of Nebraska. But most other areas in the Midwest will probably stay in relatively good shape.
So I was looking at the crop progress numbers from Monday, USDA's release. North Dakota had not started silking. Normally they would be 3% silked at that date. South Dakota at 3% silked. Normally they would be at 2%. Kansas is the issue, I think, depending on how long you think the heat will be there, despite the fact that those, and it's the northern counties, Kansas 41% silked at this time, which probably means they're really deep into close or very deep into pollination at this point. Normally at 30%, Nebraska 10% silked, they're right on average at this time. So we'll have to watch those numbers and talk with you about them next week. What does the second 2 week outlook or the last 2 week outlook of July hold across the Corn Belt, do you suppose?
Yes, I do believe that this ridge of high pressure, once it gets pushed out to the west, it will stay out to the west. I don't think it'll come back into the any part of the Midwest. It might come close to the western Corn Belt again at some point. Maybe the ridge axis would get into the High Plains region, but I don't think it will be back over the Missouri River Basin area. And certainly not the western Corn Belt. So we should see a weak northwesterly flow pattern over the western Corn Belt, which will bring some showers and thunderstorms periodically, and temperatures will probably be near to slightly above normal. The eastern and central parts of the Midwest will see a higher frequency of scattered showers and thunderstorms, and temperatures will be normalish to slightly cooler than normal. The farther east you go, the cooler the bias may be. And we should finish July that way, maybe the first week in August, and then the ridge will, if it's going to come back into the western Corn Belt and plains, it's probably going to do that in the second and the third week of August.
I'm going to ask you something I don't normally do, which is if you had to put an assessment on what you think the weather will do to the corn crop at this point, what would that be?
You know, for the bulk of the Midwest, I think there'll be more benefit than detriment from this event. But when you start talking about South Dakota, northwestern Iowa, southwest Minnesota, and parts of Nebraska, I think it's pretty hard to look at this and not think that you're gonna, to not think about shaving off some yield. It really is going to depend on location, because there's so much variability as to what the soil moisture situation is from one field to the next. There are some very definitely dry areas out there, and those areas are going to have a really tough time seeing their normal yields. They will definitely be below trend. the surrounding areas, like near Aberdeen, where we had that heavy rain last night, they could get through this a little bit easier than anybody else. And there's a few other pockets like that that are out there that have had rain here recently, and you know, they may get along a little bit better. The key to this is how many days of 100-degree heat are we looking at, or even over 95. If we're going to string a week's worth together, then we're probably going to lose a little bit of yield because of the time of the year we're in. But if it's just a couple of days, and I think that for Iowa and Minnesota, probably it is just going to be a couple of days. The impact may be low unless we don't get any follow-up rain in the following week. And that's what I'm worried about. I'm not convinced we're going to see good rain after that. So we may lose some extra yield in some of those areas, even without getting over 100 very often.
Minnesota at 4%, silked at this point as of Monday, 5% is their rolling five-year average. Iowa at 8%, 10% is their five-year average. Iowa a little tougher to tell because corn grown throughout the state. Minnesota pretty easy, probably that 44% is probably right because it's mostly in the southern third of the state and kind of easier to say that's all roughly where it is at this point. Now we have those numbers in the back pocket. What does France look like today?
France is a whole different ballgame. Boy, the one thing you have to keep in mind with France is that they irrigate 53% of their summer crops. So that's going to, you know, put a limit on how much loss there is. But with that said, they've had less than half of normal precipitation since March. And the past 6 to 7 weeks, it's been less than 25% of normal. And of course, in the midst of all that, they saw temperatures of 100 to 112 degrees in the last days of June and the first days of July. And it's cooled off a little bit here more recently, but they're going to see, well, actually yesterday it was 108 in western France. So the heat is building back up. There is no serious volume of rain for them over the next 10 days. Now, there will be some showers that scatter around, and we will work the heat out of the area very slowly, but over this next 7 days, they'll get away from the excessive heat. The showers that are going to occur are going to be like, you know, a tenth to five-tenths of an inch occurrences, not much more than that. And it won't be enough to counter evaporation, certainly won't be enough to replace what they've lost. So the stress in France will likely continue, only at a little bit lower level because we don't have the extreme temperatures. Germany is very quickly catching on to the dryness. The UK is also very seriously dry at this point, parts of Italy also. So the dryness has expanded. Even some areas in Eastern Europe are complaining about dryness, but their temperatures over there are much more reasonable, and their subsoil moisture profile is also more favorable. So it's really about France and a few Western Germany and Southern UK crop areas where we'll see a very definite downward trend. And boy, if it doesn't rain in the last days of July and early August, I don't know how they're going to get out of it.
We'll keep track of it with you. Thanks much. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good week.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like to listen at WILLAG.org or in your favorite podcast applications. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.